through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the prophet Isaiah. Thanks be to God. Well, Aaron and I have been carrying on a ministry of partnership over the last, I don't know, since, well, 2002. Is that when you came here and you started your ministry in 2006? And so this morning we're going to do a kind of a dovetail sermon. So it will be both Aaron and I. I'm giving a little preamble, a short preamble, and Aaron is going to fly with it. All right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Obviously we need your prayers. So let's pray. Lord God, we just invoke your blessing as Pastor Aaron and I seek to share your word. We ask, Lord God, that you would let your Holy Spirit flow throughout the entire congregation, flow through us and speak to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to tell a little allegory. And this allegory is about eagles and how they fly. And I first heard this, I guess, when I was in the very beginning of my ministry. So this goes back to about 1979 or so. But I've never forgotten this sermon that was given by Reverend Terry Fulham. And about the flight of an eagle. And we wonder about the creatures in nature because we don't get to see them up close. I don't know if any of you have ever seen an eagle. How many of you have seen the eagle fly? Oh, good. So we're all pretty much on board. And if you haven't seen it fly, then you've seen it on TV or in a movie. You've seen the eagle fly. Terry Fulham was inspired by eagles because he used to give a Bible study in New York, and he'd fly up from Washington, D.C. every week, and there in Washington, D.C. was a waiting room, and there were pictures of eagles all around the waiting room, and it got him thinking. It stirred up his imagination. I don't know what kind of pictures you have in your mind as you think of eagles, maybe flying or I remember seeing an eagle, recognizing an eagle for the first time along some cliffs on the Mississippi River, and they were just on the edge of the cliff, and when a wind came, they soared off. But this talks a little bit about eagles and eaglets. You see, when a mommy eagle and a daddy eagle are ready to have a baby eagle, they start making a nest. And they take in their... Can I walk around a little bit? I've got these shoes on here, and I sort of feel I'd like to use them. But when the eagle starts to make a nest, it will go around to different branches, and it will snap off the branch in its strong beak and bring the branch up to that crag, to that in the cliff, that little shelf in the cliff. And it will start to weave a nest, a large nest, because eagles are big birds. And it takes the branch by branch and weaves that nest around for the baby eagle. But as you can imagine, it's probably not that comfortable sleeping on a branch, a bunch of branches. And so the eagles go around and they find all kinds of things to line the eagle's nest with. What do you think they find to make the eagle's nest comfortable and soft? Can you imagine some things, Christine? Maple leaves. That would be one thing that they would find. Can you think of anything else they might find to make the nest comfortable? You can be an older person. Yes, Molly, you're an older person. What? Moss. That's a wonderful idea. And they would put some moss on in that nest. And what else, Sharon? Hay. Hay. All kinds of soft things. Or maybe they'll find pieces of cloth and branches, the soft branches and moss and leaves and all these nice things and make a comfortable nest. And then the baby eagle gets born. The egg comes from the mommy eagle and the eaglet breaks out. And then an interesting process starts to happen. After the eagle gets a little bigger and after the mommy and daddy eagle have flown around and found little tidbits of good food for it to eat and put it in its beak, after a while the eaglet starts to grow and starts to get wings and starts to get ready for something new. The little eaglet doesn't have any clue what's coming up, but the mommy and the daddy eagle know what's coming up. And you know what they start to do? They start to remove all those comfortable things in the nest. They take the moss out of the nest. And they take the nice leaves out of the nest. And they take all the comfortable little things that line the nest out. And the little eaglet must wonder, Mommy and Daddy, what on earth are you doing? This is becoming less and less comfortable all the time. How come you're doing this to the nest? But they do. And then what happens is the eagle starts to move and go over to the eaglet and start to nudge the eaglet out of the nest towards the edge. And the eaglet must be wondering, oh my gosh, what are my parents doing? this is a scary thing. What's happening here? But the eaglet gets moved closer and closer to the edge of the nest. And then finally, the eagle will push the eaglet out of the nest. And you can imagine it flapping and trying to get its way as it's plummeting down. And what happens? The eagle comes soaring down under the eaglet and catches the eaglet on its back. That's where the expression on eagle's wings comes from. And they bring the eaglet back to the nest. And the eaglet must wonder, that was a close one. Well, I'm glad that's over. But it's not over. Because it happens again, and the eagle will push the little eaglet closer and closer to the edge of the nest and push it out, and once again, it will fly under the eaglet. But this time, the eaglet starts more and more to learn how to fly, how to soar on the wind. And then, the eagle will start to break up the nest with its mighty beak, with its strong beak. And before you know it, there's no nest left. And the little eaglet has grown to become a larger bird. And it's time for it now to soar. Aaron has been here as an eaglet in 2002. And she's come a long way.
And I have a feeling she's going to tell us a little bit about what that parable means in her life.
Well, I have to tell you, I had this great privilege this past week to attend synagogue services with my dear friends, the Heimerlings, for Rosh Hashanah and the New Year. And they have this really wise young rabbi who was telling a story about an experience he heard of his grandfather preaching. And his grandfather was talking to the congregation and said, does God need our praise? Does God need our praise? No. God knows who God is, all-powerful, all-being. God does not need our praise. But when we stop praising God, we have a tendency to start praising ourselves. We are not here today or any other day of our lives to praise ourselves because we can't do it alone. And so we offer up praise to God this day. Not to focus on ourselves, but to truly honor and worship the giver of all of our life. Everything that we are comes from God. And so as Michael has opened up this allegory of the eagle, I want to share with you a few thoughts that I have. I shared with some fellow pastors at a Fanning the Flame conference, and it's this. That once that eagle is out there with its wings spread wide, once it is out there to soar, it is kept soaring only by the heat and the power of the wind that is generating that soaring movement under its wings. In fact, that eagle is not moving at all. Still as can be. It is that power and heat of wind, therefore I would contend the power and heat of the Holy Spirit in our allegory, allowing the eagle to soar. And Michael's right. I walked in here as an eaglet. I might have even walked in just out of my shell. I was a young mom. I knew nothing. I didn't know how to be a mom. Wasn't quite certain how to be a good wife. Certainly had very little clue about my walk as a Christian. I have to tell you, I'd wear a WWJD bracelet back then, but had very little clue what that really meant in my life. What would Jesus do in my life? I had no clue. But these folks here in this church, these folks that have become my family, started to push me. It was gentle. It wasn't like this hard stick, like get you out of the nest type of push, but it was gentle. It was a conversation. It was a question. And these things helped me to grow. And today, as I accept this position as associate regional pastor, and I have to tell you, Elmo was standing here and he says, I want to explain to you better what Aaron will be doing. I thought to myself, thank God. Finally, someone's going to tell us what I'm going to be doing. But I know that whatever I do, I go and am able to soar as a more of an eagle today. Because of the wind that each of you have placed beneath my wings. each and every one of you that are in this room today have an impact on who I am today. As a mom, as a daughter, as a sister, as a wife, and as a pastor, each of you has an impact that is greater than I could ever explain to you. But as I enter into regional ministry, I know that I've needed each of you to catch me at some point, as a parent eagle would catch an eaglet, to teach me that I don't know it all. Probably never will. But I do know that without you, I would not be where I am today. And I give thanks to God for that. Not to pat you or to pat myself on the back, but to praise God for the ministry that we have accomplished together. As a staff, we were enjoying lunch on Wednesday, and we were talking about, we were talking about some of the successful ministries that we accomplished together as a congregation. And just how would these things carry on without me? And it's really simple if you ask me. This church has been here for over 200 years, and I pray to God that it will be here for more than 200 going forward. It is not about me. It is not about you. It is about the Holy Spirit, and it's about God. But when we look at the things that we accomplish together, when we look at sending children out in the cutest little costumes in December to preach the gospel, to preach the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, out onto the street to hundreds of people. That is ministry. It was wind beneath my wings that I needed to soar through other months of the year when things weren't quite so great. When we have 136 young children coming into the church for a week of vacation Bible school, teaching them that Jesus loves them, it is wind beneath an eagle's wings. When we have a Logos ministry that we have children coming and filling the building, running throughout the entire building on Wednesday evenings, teaching them that, in fact, they are a child of God and are important to God and to us, it is wind beneath the wings. When you stand up here for the first time and you shake and you quiver and you don't know if you can look up from your notes to a day where you can stand up here and speak from your heart and know that God is with you, it's wind beneath your wings. And so I encourage you to know that I uphold each and every one of you in my prayers on a daily basis, because I know that I am a better person because of you. I know that ministry throughout the state of New Jersey will be better because of you. And I say to you, if there's a day that you are feeling down, are struggling, and you don't feel that wind, reach out. Because you are some of the most kind and caring and compassionate people that are able to put wind beneath folks' wings like none other. And so I say to you this day, thank you. But more than thank you, I thank God for you and pray that you feel that wind in your own life. And do not try and do it on your own, but allow the wind to carry you. Because the sights are so much more interesting when you have folks supporting you than when you're trying to struggle alone. Allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to catch you so that you too may soar in your life. And know that I thank God for each of you every day. Thank you.
seated. Tom Minuti is here somewhere. There he is. He doesn't look anything like Karen Hoisington. You may be seated. But Karen today is a grandmother again.
Yay!
She was going to do the presentation, but she has a grandchild, Riley, right?
Riley.
Riley.
Born this morning
to Megan, so we're very happy for her. And Tom is doing the presentation. Tom, you want this thing?
No, I'll come up.
You come up here, okay. Great.
Good morning, I'm Tom Minuti, and I am standing in for Karen this morning. And Karen passed on that Riley Elena was born early this morning, and she is 7 pounds, 10 ounces. This is either like 42 inches or 19 and 3/4 inches, something like that. Something like that. She's very tall. And I didn't wear a tie today because I was born in South Philadelphia and there were so many other ways that they use ties that I didn't. Well, as we've lightened it up just a little bit, Karen wanted me to pass on a little bit of the emotion she thought that the congregation was feeling in Aaron leaving us. So she got this card. It's an audio card, so I'm going to put it up to the mic after I read the front. I promise to act all grown up and mature when you leave.
We're begging you.
That's what the chair of your executive board thought you were all feeling. On a more serious note, Aaron did walk through here 14 years ago, and God has a funny way of when you're involved in ministry to make you experience people's lives. You see the good parts, you see the bad parts, you see the joys, you see the anguish, you see the growth, and you see the many blessings through all of them. And we've been richly blessed here at First Baptist because of Aaron. So, as she leaves today, I don't want us to look at this as a farewell, although it is a farewell. I mean, before Jesus left, he asked that the Father send the Holy Spirit so he indwells us each and every moment of every day, no matter what we do, to bring all things to understanding. I'm asking us to pray that maybe we take a little piece of Aaron with us each day, as well as she maybe carries a piece of each of us each day in her walk. And that way we can continue the many blessings that we've experienced through her ministry here. So Aaron, there's a couple things here. There's a card that the whole congregation has signed or will sign before the end of the day. And it's here and it'll probably be outside with pens. So please, if you haven't signed it, sign it. The children have a basket of cards that they will present to you. And also, the church, as a small token, would like to give you this gift.
Thank you.
So, we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And this very serious card. Okay. Thank you.
Hold on there.
Thank you. Sorry.